Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 12:07 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is March 13th. Well, today was a reasonably positive day on stock markets, not in a dynamic manner, but Wall Street, having been down most of last week, again not in a dynamic manner, was in mildly positive territory. In Europe today, the majority of markets were also in reasonably positive territory. Perhaps the markets that had the biggest moves were China. The Hang Seng was up over 1%, and what we are seeing then is that there is at least some signs of support being found by the Hang Seng. So that is, it had just pulled back from the region of that August-September peak, but it is now appearing at least to find support. But perhaps more importantly, it is the H-share index that has bounced from above that 10,000 level, and that also represented an area of previous resistance. So this continues to characterize a market that is slowly but surely bouncing from the lower side of what is a really quite a lengthy medium-term range. Elsewhere in Asia, it was South Korea was making headlines because the ousted premier has been removed from office, and she was escorted back to the Gangnam district today. But the market is breaking higher on that news, and perhaps if we look at it not over a decade but over just the last 5 years, we can see that this market has been really plagued by bouts of quite a lot of volatility, but that there is a progression of higher reaction lows over the last 18 months, and that it is now clearing the 2100 level, that there is the prospect that the Korean market might be in the process of completing what has been really quite a lengthy period of consolidation. And in the context of that really long-term trend, then we have to consider that rangers are explosions waiting to happen, and this has been really quite an inert period of time, despite the fact that it has been characterized by these occasional bouts of volatility. That this is a market that is capable of rallying beyond the short term, and that is perhaps something to keep in mind, because it has already been ranging for such a long time that people might have just forgotten that. Then this was also a big weekend for India, where Modi has achieved what was really a landslide victory in Uttar Pradesh, which accounts for about 200 million of India's population. And not only does that give him a reasonably free hand in terms of his legislative agenda and helps to embolden him and give him an additional mandate, but it also helps to give a stamp of approval to the demonetization that was implemented on the night of the US presidential election result. And really what we can gain from that is perhaps that yes, it created a great deal of inconvenience for regular people, but for the holders of cash, it was an even bigger inconvenience, and the regular people were more than happy to experience that, to take the inconvenience in a small manner themselves because of the great inconvenience it gave to corrupt officials in particular. The Nifty is testing this 9,000 level. It's at the upper side of a two-year range, and it is looking increasingly likely that it is going to break on the upside. The banking index, which is characteristically a lead indicator, is also testing the upper side of its range. It did hit a new high on February 26th, but it wasn't able to hold it, and it has been consolidating for the last couple of weeks, but nothing in the way of clear downward dynamics, and it doesn't look like anything other than a brief pause in the region of the upper side of the range before it breaks on the upside. Reliance Industries has been leading on the upside, and it has experienced an explosive breakout, and it is perhaps now getting a little bit of consolidation, but it was well off the low in here today, suggesting that if it is probably just a consolidation. The other market, and of course I have a long position, so I'm keeping quite a close eye on it, is Japan, and the Nikkei has been firming within its range. it has been really very steady over the last 3 months. It is now pressuring the upper side of this range, and this has been a very orderly consolidation below the psychological 20,000 level. I'm particularly cognizant of the fact that it has been ranging below this 20,000 level for an awfully long time. The last time it tested 20,000 was 2 years ago, and prior to that, it was in the early part of the year 2000. So, what happens in Japan in the near term is really is potentially very important. We had an incredibly abrupt move higher from 10 to 20,000 with the introduction of Abenomics. Then the market gave up half of that advance, and now we've had this lengthy consolidation. The question is now whether we are approaching the end of that consolidation. It is a big question. We know also that, for example, the FTSE has completed what was a 17-year range and continues to hold the breakout to new highs. And it isn't just the FTSE 100, which is characterized by companies that do the majority of their business outside the UK, but the FTSE 350, which incorporates the smaller caps, or the FTSE Mid Caps Index. They are all trading at new highs. And this continues to represent a bullish environment for stocks. They have all benefited from the weakness of the pound. And perhaps the most important point is that it isn't just that the pound has been weak since Brexit, but that really the pound has been trending lower for over 2 years already. And there is some sign that, at least today, it is firming from the lower side of its range. It has got a lot of work to do to really suggest that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. Most particularly, it needs to sustain a move above the trend mean. It hasn't really been able to do that since 2014. But the very fact that the pound has been low, that it has been trending lower for what is a reasonably long time already, that has boosted UK competitiveness, and that is also helping to support the stock markets. And it is And I think, that is particularly the case for the small cap index, and that was in additional new high territory today. What we can see that this was has been a really a very impressive advance since November. When we look at Japan, it's the second section index that has tended to offer a lead indicator, and that was also at a new high today. When we look at that on the weekly chart, then it is really accelerating higher at this stage, and it is approaching the psychological 6,000 level. So it wouldn't be beyond the bounds possibility that we get at least some consolidation in that area. When we look at the European market, then it was also in positive territory. It is responding to the fact that the ECB might be beginning to talk about how on earth they're going to be able to unwind their quantitative easing, but they're not, in fact, doing it, and that there is the continued tailwind of the fact that the EU economy has been really in a very difficult period of time for a prolonged period of time, years already, and that it is starting to improve, that the Wall Street leash effect is working. And the US continues to represent the best performing market by far. But when we think about what we can expect from this week, then there are a lot of data points. The S&P 500 has steadied. It has pulled back by about 50 points. The last range was also in the region of about 50 points between December and January. And considering that we have this week, there is the Fed meeting. There is potentially Theresa May attempting to activate Article 50 of the Nice Treaty and taking the UK out of the EU officially. And then, of course, there is the Dutch election. So there are quite a significant number of data points. They will almost certainly come to bear on the currency markets. They'll probably come to bear on the equity markets. The Euro really did rally quite impressively on Friday, and it has held the majority of that advance today, but it hasn't really improved on it. It is still quite a difficult environment for the euro, and it rallied because they were beginning to talk about removing quantitative easing, but they have not in fact done it, and it really does need to sustain a move above 108, or 1.08, excuse me, to really suggest that this is anything other than short-term steadying. And in the bond markets, US 10-year yields are at the upper side of their range. They are trading right above the 2.6% level. And another day like today would see it breaking upwards. Now, of course, there is the possibility that you have short-term traders in there who are attempting to capture a somewhat higher yield, so they're shorting it right now in advance of buying it after the Fed decision on Wednesday. So it isn't so much a question of whether we're going to get higher yields in the short term between now and Wednesday, but rather, are those yields going to be sustained? Is the move above 2.6 going to be sustained after Wednesday? Are we going to pull back and mess around inside the range into next week and potentially for the next few weeks? That is, I think, a distinct possibility, because when we have the Fed rate hike, it could be a while before we have the next one, and the Fed will probably wait and see to gauge what kind of influence that has on sentiment. They are increasingly looking towards the stock market, and not least because we have valuations that are reasonably high, and the valuation of the stock market is very much tied to economic growth. And if economic growth does not come through, which helps to boost earnings, then we would have no, and I think investors generally would have no choice but to conclude that the stock market is expensive. So what happens in terms of economic growth is important, and the legislative agenda and the ability of the Trump administration to deliver on some of the I think the promises that were made in terms of fiscal spending in particular really do need to be delivered upon. When we look at the commodity markets, then Brent crude was pretty much unchanged in here today. And that contributed to, for example, the Brazilian market steadying up. It has pulled back from 70 to 65, and today was a reasonably positive day. The ruble, which has been one of the better performing currencies over the last year, has also at least paused in what has been a decline over the last few sessions, in line with the oil price. The Russian market pulled back very sharply at the end of last week, and it has also steadied a little bit in here in the region of this 1050, and that represents the region of the trend mean. So it is exactly where, if the market is going to demonstrate support, that this is just about the area where we would anticipate that at least somebody would think they could see value. The gold price today was pretty much unchanged. We have seen at least some support coming in around this $1,200 area, but what we need to see is a clear upper dynamic. We need to see some evidence that the region of the trend mean is holding, that we have seen some overshoot and prices are trading below the trend mean at present, but it could still bounce and look okay from a short-term perspective, but it would need to be getting about it and start to rally pretty soon. And I thought I would also just show you the chart of Bitcoin. It has been the subject of profound volatility over the last two sessions, because the SEC decided not to allow the Winklevoss twins to unload some of their hoard onto retail investors. But because we have so much, I think, on the news slate for this week, prices have rallied back in a very dynamic fashion. But this is incredibly volatile, and it would suggest that we are in a much more risky environment, that there is this is now the subject of a casino kind of environment rather than something that is realistically tradable, at least from my perspective. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.